God for what he did for us in last year. But let me go ahead and pray first, and then we'll get started. Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for this first service. We commit this time to you. We commit our service to you. May you speak to us today words of wisdom from heaven above. Give us a seeing eye. Give us a hearing ear in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. I was spending some time with the Lord about 2 weeks ago on one particular morning. And I shared a little bit about this last week in the service. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, is there something in particular, you know, that you have on your heart for this year? Is there something that you need me to know? Is there something you would like me to know? But also, is there something you would like me to communicate to the people of God in our church? Amen. And he made it very clear to me, absolutely. Now, he dealt with me about this first. And if you have a notebook, I want you to write this down here. This is, I believe, 365 days this year, you and I will begin to walk. Starting today, we will begin to walk in what exactly what the Lord is saying right here. In 2016, the Lord said this to my spirit. Now, I didn't hear it audibly, not with these physical ears, but I heard it in my spirit as I was praying. Now, you have to understand, I didn't have any preconceived idea. I didn't go with my agenda. I went with a clean, blank slate, so to speak, you know, and say, Father, I'm totally open. What do you have for us this year? And here's what he said. 2016, the Lord has increase. The Lord said this. He says, I have increase on my mind for you in every area of your life. I said, say that again, Lord. He said, I have increase on my mind for every one of my children in 2016. And he says, I want increase. And I heard this authoritative voice in my spirit. He says, I want increase in health in my people. He says, I want increase in unity in your families. Power of unity. He says, I want increase in prosperity in your finances this year. That's a big one, isn't it? And he said this also. He says, I want increase in influence, the influence that you have as individuals, but also as a church, to broaden, amen, our influence. I felt God's heart saying, I want to manifest myself as the God of increase in 2016. Praise God. You know, there's some Christians that actually think that increase is a dirty word. There's some Christians that believe that prosperity is a dirty word. Well, listen, it's all through the Bible. So if you take out increase, you take out prosperity, you got to take out full chapters in the Bible. Amen? God wants us to look to Him this year to bring increase, not to look to our job, not to look to anything else, except the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. I think it was King Asa in the Bible. I believe that's who I'm thinking of right now. It says that he had this disease in his feet. I don't know if it was athlete's foot or what. I don't know what the deal was, you know. But it was serious enough that it killed him. King Asa, it says, in all his disease in his feet, the Bible says he sought not the Lord, but the physicians, and he died. Isn't that interesting? Now, there's nothing wrong with going to a physician. Do it in faith. If you go to a doctor, go in faith. Amen? Trust the Lord. You're still trusting the Lord. You're not trusting that person. But the Bible says in all of his years, King Asa, he was a high-ranked man. He did not seek the Lord. He sought the physicians, and he died. Now, I'm not sure what happened to his feet. Maybe a gangrene or something. I don't know. But he died as a result of it, but he didn't seek the Lord. So I think it's really important that we say this first and foremost, that this year, if you want to excel, how many of you want to excel? How many of you want to increase? How many of you want to come up higher in your life? We have to put God first in our lives. God has to be number one in our lives. Seek God. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that we're perfect, okay? But you know, if you have a heart towards God, even if you've done wrong, you still want to please Him. You want to do what's right in His sight. Hallelujah. Whatever happened in 2015 is all past anyway. Whatever disappointments you had in 2015, it's all behind you right now. What matters is today forward. We have control over the future. You cannot control the past. You can't go back and change the past. But you do have a certain amount of control and say-so over 2016. Now, the Lord brought this to my remembrance because I'd heard this taught some time ago, that Israel is a prime example. You know, Israel started out in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. Remember that? And then God brought them out into the wilderness. That was the second phase. And then thirdly, He brought the Israelites, the ones that were of faith, He brought them into the promised land. Now, there's a three-step progression here that I want to share with you real quick here. God took the children of Israel from the land of not enough, that's Egypt. Say not enough.
Not enough.
There was never enough. Okay? Whatever they ate, it wasn't enough. Did you ever eat a dinner somewhere? You're like, oh, I don't know. It's got to be more than this. Well, they went from Egypt, which is the land of not enough, to the wilderness. When God brought them out into the wilderness, that was the land of just enough. Ultimately, His goal was to bring them into the land of more than enough, which was Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey, a good land, a place where there's houses that they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, gardens they didn't plant. But God says, here you go, you're going to enter into it. Now, it's interesting because when God brought Israel out of Egyptian captivity for 400 years, my God, we think we've been having problems for a long time. 400 years. It's twice as old as our country. God took them out of Egypt, but you know what? He had to get Egypt out of them. Because they had a poverty, lack, fear-filled mindset because of the slavery and the conditions that they experienced. And it took a long time for them to begin to realize and begin to think differently. Glory to God. So again, God took the children of Israel out of the land of not enough, that's Egypt, to the land of just enough, that's the wilderness, ultimately to bring them into Canaan, which is the land of more than enough. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Well, what's God's plan for us? A lot of us could say, well, I feel like I live in the land of not enough. I feel like I live in the land of just enough. But, you know, that's not God's highest and best for us. How many of you know we can all increase some more? How many of you could use a little bit more money at the end of the month? About three people. How many of you could use a little money more at the end of the month? Okay. How many of you could use some more health in your body? Okay. How many of you could use some more favor and influence so that you can help other people? That's ultimately what it's all about. God has always designed that you and I be an example that God sets on a pedestal for the rest of the world to see and say, I want what they have. I see something on them. I see the blessing upon them. That's what God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, I thought about the Garden of Eden, for example, in the days of creation. We, you know, this time of the year, as you read through the Bible, you start in Genesis, of course. And we have what we call the 6 days of increase. And this is what we're talking about, the God of all increase. That's the name of the title. I'll let you know that. And we know that on the first day, I'm just going to mention this because of time here, but on the very first day of creation, God created the heavens and the earth, light and darkness. Day number 2, He created the heavens. Day number 3, dry land, the seas, and vegetation. Day number 4, He created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, wait a minute. You say, Pastor, I thought He created light on the first day. Well, that was before the sun and the stars. God is light. That was the glory of God. All right? When God shows up, light shows up. Amen? And so day number 5, we see the living creatures in the water, the birds, the air, and so forth. Day number 6, we see the creation of land animals. Okay? Every land animal that there is. And then also He created, lastly, mankind. He created Adam. Okay? Now, I said all that to say this, that God prepared everything before he created his man. Now, notice that God did not put Adam on a moon surface. What the moon looks like. You've seen pictures of it, but you know, there's no vegetation. There's no water. There's no life to speak of. It's just a ball of dirt. How many of you know that? Well, the earth started out like that, but God did not put Adam on the earth the first day of creation and put him on this moon surface type thing. On days 1 through 5, actually 1 through 6, God created all creatures, all animals, and everything that there is, vegetation, all the sea creatures and everything. But the final day of creation, now we know the seventh day that God rested, but on the sixth day, God created man. 6 represents man. But when God created Adam and he put him on in the Garden of Eden, everything was already furnished. Everything was all, there was nothing missing. There was nothing broken. That's what shalom is. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I just want you to see this because this is the pattern of how God operates. God completes something first, and then he puts man in the garden. It wasn't half done. It's like somebody moving into a place that's half built. They hadn't put the roof on yet. No carpeting, of course. That we're going to live here. Well, it's going to be a little inconvenient, amen? It's better to move into a place that has the roof on it, has the floors on it, has the foundation, everything else in it. And then it's in a position where you can now move into it. Are you with me now? And so, all these things were created to minister to Adam. God prepared everything before he created Adam. Now go back to Deuteronomy, if you would, in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's pick up in verse 6. Now, you have to understand that when we read this, you know, that Israel is a type and a shadow of the church. They're not the real deal. They're a type and a shadow of the real church, you and I. Mm-hmm. But there's principles that we can certainly learn from the Old Testament. They're a type and they're a shadow of for what we have today. Now, look at verse 6, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. The Lord said this, "These words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now that sounds to me like all the time. So that's a full-time thing there, isn't it? Teach the word. Be diligent to teach your children. Verse 8 says, "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." All right? So in other words, the Lord was telling them, you got to keep the word before you. You got to keep the word before you. Now that's really important. Now, let me just say something here. This isn't really our subject here today, but if we keep the word before us in 2016, and I mean have some scriptures that you're believing God for whatever it is. Have scriptures, you know, plastered on your mirror, your refrigerator, wherever, you know, whatever's convenient for you, that you can keep the word, which is the promise, before your eyes all the time. Instead of the problem, meditating upon the problem. You know, whether you realize it or not, you know, if you're going to worry about something, you're using precious energy anyway. When you fear, when you worry, that's nothing more than meditation on the problem. People say, "Well, I don't know how to meditate. That seems like real complicated." Well, what's worry? Meditation. When you worry about something, you worry about your health, you worry about paying bills and so forth, you're actually meditating on the problem before it's even happened. You're envisioning the wrong thing happening. you're using energy. You get my point? If you're worrying, you're going to use energy anyway. Why not reverse that and use energy that's going to profit you and bless you? Now, I'll just quote this. It's not in my scripture here this morning, but in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, God told Joshua, who took over Moses' place as the leadership of Israel, there's some big shoes to fill there. So, you know, he was feeling pretty insignificant, pretty inferior. Who in the world's going to take over Moses' spot here? But God chose Joshua. But he kept telling Joshua in chapter 1, he says, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed, don't be fearful. He said, here's the key to your success. Verse 8, 1:8, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law, this word of God, shall not depart from out of your mouth. He doesn't want the word departing from our mouth. He said, but you shall meditate in my word day and night, and observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That's the word of God. God wants you to be prosperous, and he wants you to have good success. What was the secret key? There was no mystery. It was given to Joshua, but he put it in there for you and I as well. What was the key? Joshua, here's the key. Meditate in the word of God day and night. He says, then you will become a success. Hallelujah. This is God's recipe, Joshua 1:8, for success this year, is to meditate on the word of God day and night. Now, meditation is not complicated. It's a process. If you worry, that's meditation. Anybody here know how to worry? I used to be a world champion worrier. Would have got a gold medal if they had the Olympics for it. Because I was raised that way. Okay? Now, thank God I got a hold of the word of God. But I'll tell you, I used to be a world champion worrier. I'd worry about everything. Because my mama was like that. You know what I mean? She's not like that now. She got a hold of the word. But that fear was transmitted to me. It was passed down to me. And I began to fear about everything. Never having enough. This thing or that thing. You know what I'm saying? That is meditation on the wrong thing. But if you put the word of God inside your mind and inside your mouth and you begin to meditate on that, God will arrange it so that you will begin to walk in God's manifold blessings. Let's say, for example, you need healing in your body. Maybe something needs corrected in your body. You can take one scripture. One scripture. Everybody say one scripture. You can take one scripture. This has got to come off here. Praise the Lord. You can take one scripture and meditate on that one scripture. Let's say 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes ye were healed. That's just part of that verse. By his stripes, by Jesus' stripes, ye were healed. Okay? Say, by his stripes,
by his stripes
I am healed. Now, where did that scripture come from? That came from Isaiah chapter 53. Okay? And Isaiah was prophesying about the coming Messiah. He says, by whose stripes you are healed. Peter, looking back, says, by whose stripes you were healed. He's looking back. Okay? So if you take that one scripture, and you meditate that scripture, you are not going to wear out that scripture. And I've said this, I'm telling you, thousands of times, and I'll continue to say it. By his stripes, I was healed. By his stripes, I was healed. Oh, there's a pain in my back. By his stripes, I was healed. I'm not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on the solution. We have to be solution-minded in 2016. How do we become solution-minded? We fix our attention, our eyes, and our ears on what God's word says. Not what Uncle Charlie says. Not what that relative says that's always dogging you. Okay? How many of you know there's some even believers that are not walking in faith? And they're full of unbelief. Who ever heard of a believing unbeliever? We're called believers. That's what comes naturally to us. But getting back to what I said, God told Joshua, said, if you meditate in my word day and night, you'll be like a tree. That's what the psalmist says. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll bring forth fruit in your season. Your leaf shall not wither. Whatever you do shall what? Prosper. Amen. So to have increase in our lives this year, we have to learn to meditate on the Word of God. Hallelujah. And you can do that driving down the street. You can do that walk, taking a walk. You can do that taking a shower. You can do a walk doing housework, wherever you're at. I mean, you can just get that scripture, by His stripes, I am healed. How does that apply to me? The word meditate simply means this. It means to ponder. Okay? Are you with me now? To think, to imagine, and notice, to speak or to mutter. By His stripes, I'm healed. 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 Well, I know what the doctor said. I know what my body's telling me. That has a voice. How many of your doctor has a voice? Your body has a voice. People have a voice. Which voice is going to speak the loudest in our lives? I know from experience what I'm talking about here. Okay? You have to meditate to make it in this life and to get fear off your back. I declare in the name of Jesus this year that fear has no more place in this church. Fear has no place in your life. Hallelujah. The first thing that ought to come out of our lips, and we train ourselves to do this, is what does God's Word say? Well, Psalm 91 says, 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It's not going to come near me. With long life, He will satisfy me and show me His salvation. I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to live long in this earth. I'm going to live strong in this earth. I'm going to fulfill my destiny that God has for me. Because it's not just about me. It's about other people that I can influence and help. That's what it's all about. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Praise God. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. Start out by taking just one scripture and say it over and over, and watch how God will build revelation inside your heart when you do that. Amen. Now, let's just say you're struggling financially. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a ton of scriptures in the area of increase as well. Philippians 4:19 is a classic one. My God, Paul says, my God shall supply half your needs. No, he says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to what? His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And you got a stack of bills staring at you and they have a voice. Say, how are you going to pay this? How's this going to happen? You know? How many of you have some projects it's going to take God's supernatural supply to take care of certain things? I got a few of those. But it's like, you know, it's like there's no short of us in situations like that where we come up against, we need God to come through, because if we could do it, we would have done it a long time ago. That's why we have a God. Amen? We're His sheep. And the shepherd takes care of his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Glory be to God. So notice we're back in Deuteronomy here. He's talking about meditating, teaching you the word to your kids when you sit up, when you walk, when you go by the way, when you lie down at night. In other words, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. You know, some people, bless their hearts, the only time they talk about the word of God is if they're in church. But you know what? When you put the Word of God first place in your life, you'll talk about it when you get up. You'll talk about it when you go by the way. Talk to yourself, at least. Now, maybe somebody doesn't want to hear what you have to say, but you can talk to yourself. You know, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When the enemy captured all their kids in the camp of Israel, and they spoiled everything, they took everything, the wives, the children. And then David's own people turned on him and said, this is your fault that we're in this position. And they talked about stoning David. Now, you know, that's a tough place. That's a rough place. Yeah. His own people are going to turn on him and stone him. They've taken their wives, their kids, the enemy took them all. And the Bible says David turned to the Lord, hallelujah, and he inquired of the Lord. And the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God in 1 Samuel. He encouraged himself. Sometimes it's good when there's other people that can encourage us. We should be an encourager. I like to be that's part of the anointing I have, is to encourage people. But you know, there's times I need encouragement and there's no one around. There's times we need encourage and there's nobody around. But you know what? There is a God and there is a Holy Ghost, and He never leaves us or He never forsakes us. Amen. People can come and go in your life, but I'll tell you what, God never comes and goes. He's always there for you. Amen. 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 Say amen.
Amen.
You believe that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. How did he do that? He began to talk about previous victories where his back was up against the wall with Goliath, with the lion, and with the bear. Amen. And he stirred up his pure mind by way of remembrance, and he began to talk about previous battles that were going to take him out. How many of you know that bear could take him out like that? That lion could take him out just like that. And Goliath is no different. 11, 12 foot tall giant. But David went and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And I believe that we do that by reciting past victories. Have you had some past victories in your life? Have you? Over the last couple of years, were there some things in your life that were really coming against you at the time, but God gave you a victory?
Amen.
You have to remember those things and recite those things, because what God did before, He wants to do again in your life. I'm getting encouraged as I preach this morning. There's no greater encourager than yourself. And there's no greater discourager than yourself. Well, it's Monday. Clouds are out. Where's the sun? And you can talk yourself into a state of depression. You know, there are people that do that every year, this time of year. Oh, that time of year, it's winter time. Listen. You can go through winter full of joy, full of gladness. Are you with me now? Bless the Lord. See, we do our best to keep people out of here. They're just beating down the doors. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Over Deuteronomy chapter 6 again. Verse 10 is what I want you to see this here in verse 10. And it shall be. Now this is after the Lord said some things to Israel. He said, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee a great and a goodly cities. Notice this, which thou buildest not. Verse 11. And houses full of good things, which thou fillest not. And wells dig, which thou diggest not. Can you dig it? Vineyards and olive trees that thou plantest not. And thou shalt have eaten and be full. And in verse 12, it finally says, and then beware lest you forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, that's the land of not enough, from the house of bondage. Okay, so what's he saying right here? He's saying this. Here's what I want to do to you. Now, he's already brought them out of Egypt, out of the land of not enough. Now they're in the wilderness, the land of just enough. They had enough manna for each day. Now he wants to bring them into the land of the Canaanites, into the Canaan, the land that flows with milk and honey, where there's more than enough, where your cup runneth over. This is Old Testament now. But he says, I want to bring you into this land. And he says, you're going to go in and you're going to possess homes that you didn't build. Hallelujah. Wells that you didn't dig. Vineyards you didn't plant. So in other words, something is being prearranged. Something is being prepared. Not for the sinner's sake, but for your sake. That's why the Bible says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Amen? Now, I know sometimes when you talk about this, it kind of boggles your mind. And say, well, you know, how's that going to take place? Listen, I know people where these people that believe these things, where it comes to pass in their lives. Amen. I think it was Jesse Duplantis, if my memory serves me correct. The Lord. This is way back when he was driving. He could barely put gas in his car when he was traveling, okay, in his little car that he had, that he traveled in. And a jet plane flew over his head. And the Lord spoke to him, and in essence, he was saying, I want you to believe for one of those. And he's thinking, are you serious? I can't even hardly put gas in my vehicle right now to do this ministry and to travel. Now, stay with me now. And the Lord spoke to him. He says, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I'm asking you to believe for it. To believe for it. Now, when I heard that, that ministered to me because it takes the pressure off of you, because the Lord will ask you to believe for something that you cannot pay for. Okay? But the currency in heaven is faith. That's why the scripture says in Isaiah, come buy without money. No limits. How do you do that? With your faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. And faith will get whatever you need to that God has already promised. Faith is the key that unlocks the door for us this year to walk into that area of increase in our lives. Now, human tendency, just like the Israelites, was, you know, we've been this way for 400 years. My great-great-great-grandfather had this problem. I have this problem. My mother had this problem. My dad had this problem. You know what I'm saying? Yada, 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 yada. There comes a time and a place where we have to say, that's enough. That curse might have been in my family for that many years, but you know what? That day is coming to a close right now. In Jesus' name, that curse is not going to come upon me, upon my family. I'm going to walk in the blessing of God. Praise God. Can you believe this today? Yes. See, the Lord's not asking you to pay for anything. He's asking you to believe. Well, how's God going to reach my family? You know, you got some family members that need God to touch them. Well, you know, God has a way of reaching them. He has the right laborers. He has the right kind of people that can come across their path, that can touch them and minister to them when you don't even know how. Amen? I remember years ago when we first got married, you know, Lynn always had it. She came from, you know, a family of seven kids, two parents and seven kids, you know. And she was raised Roman Catholic, okay? And so she was one of the first people to get saved in her house, you know. We got married in 1982. And I tell you, she always had on her heart so much to see her family saved and born again. Now, her grandmother on her dad's side, I met her, spent some time with her before she moved to heaven. She got saved way back in the early part of the century. And, I mean, she was radically transformed. And she was Italian, you know, so she would talk with her hands, you know. But she was full-blood Italian, wasn't she? Praise God. She come over on the boat, too, or she, her family did, okay. And, but she got saved, and she, the only thing that ever came out of her lips is, I just want to see my family saved. I just want to see them born again. And so a lot of them didn't want to hear what she had to say. But you know what? She prayed. That was all that was on her lips. She prayed, and every one of the family members came into the kingdom of God, including this woman right here. Got saved as a result of it. Well, when Lynn received Christ back in the 70s, you know, that burden, so to speak, came on her heart that she wanted to see her family saved, because they weren't yet. And so you know how it is sometimes, and it was the same way with my family, that when you begin to share, you want to see them born again. You want to see your mom and your dad get saved, your brothers and sisters get saved. How many have that desire? Well, sometimes that can lead to utter frustration because you try to share with them and they just don't want to hear it. Well, that was no different with us. But I remember, this is fast forwarding a few years, we were already married, this is before we had even children, and I was sitting in their family room with her mom and dad, and we were watching television or something. We were over there just to pay a visit. And I knew it was heavy on my wife's heart to see her mom and dad get saved, because she tried to witness to them back in those days early, and it just didn't seem to work, okay? And the Lord spoke to my heart because, you know, we were concerned. We wanted them to be born again. And the Holy Spirit breathed inside of me. He says, I have ways of reaching them. I remember exactly where I was. I was driving around this particular road, around this bend, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, I have ways of reaching them that you know not of. He said, you just pray for the right laborers to come across their path. So I shared that with her, and we did that, okay? Not too much longer after that, I don't know, it wasn't maybe a month or two after that, I was sitting in their living room, and there is a Catholic, periodical or something, it was literature, and I picked it up, because it looked real religious, the front, but I noticed the title was about healing. I'm looking at this, so I opened it up, and it was like a Catholic tract about being not only born again, but how to be healed in your physical body. And it shocked me because I didn't know that such a thing existed in the Catholic Church. I just didn't know. I was raised Methodist. And I didn't speak up and say, hey, what's this all about? I just kept quiet, and I thought, praise God. Because it's coming from that, from that background, so to speak. So God was able to speak to them through some of those things. Amen. And that's when the Lord reminds us to see, I have ways of reaching them that you know not of. Didn't Paul say, I become all things to all men that I might win them? Yes. Now, that's not compromise. But sometimes in order to reach people, you have to speak their language. Are you with me now? Now, I may not be able to reach all the people that have big tattoos on their body. But we got people in the church that do. Amen? And maybe God will listen. They'll listen to them where they wouldn't necessarily listen to me about that. You know what I'm trying to say? So it's a natural thing that if somebody is able to identify with that, and whatever the case may be, why not? In order that they get born again. Praise God. Let's go over here because we're almost out of time here. But in Psalms 115... I just got two more scriptures that I want to read here today. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take each week here for this month, and we're going to talk about how to tap into godly increase in your life. And by the looks of some of your faces, I can tell you need some increase. Okay? All right? Because you look kind of sad, okay? But let me tell you something. That's going to change. I know because I've been there, okay? I know what it's like to meditate on the problem, and it's not a fun day, okay? But I'm telling you what, when we meditate on the Word of God, God can bring us into a place we never dreamed possible. Praise God. Now, in Psalm 115, check out verse 9. Through 16, it says in verse 9, O Israel, I think we saw this last week, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Now notice the key word here, trust. Everybody say trust. This is vitally important for you and I this year. You pull out a dollar bill or any kind of bill and you look on it, it says these words, in God we trust. We got to pull that out every day and look at that. In God, we don't trust in this. In God, we trust. Too many people trust in that green piece of paper when it says, in God, we trust. Now, this is the theme here in this scripture right here in these verses. He says, verse 9, O Israel, trust. Say trust.
Trust.
Trust thou in the Lord, for he is their help. O house of Aaron, what?
Trust,
trust in the Lord. For he is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, that's you and I, what's he say?
Trust.
Trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. And if you're not of the house of Aaron or Israel, I will bless them, verse 13, all them that fear the Lord, both small and great. That would include us. So I'm not Jewish. I didn't come from that lineage. But you know what? I fear the Lord. I have respect for the Lord. Do you?
Amen.
Okay. But he says in verse 13 there, he says, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. Now notice verse 14. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children, you are blessed of the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. And then finally, verse 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he hath given to the children of men. That's us. Okay? So we can see here in these verses of Scripture here. I love Psalm 115. I mean, it's just remarkable here. But the Bible says, it starts out by talking about trust, trust, trust. If you trust, if I trust God, if you trust God, it will affect your countenance. You'll never be the same. If I'm trusting the Lord, I'm not going to have a sad countenance. I'm not going to be like, I'm trusting the Lord today. Are you? You trusting the Lord today? Kind of look like that sad dog on Hee Haw, you know? If I trust the Lord, it will lift my countenance. I trust the Lord. Oh, yeah, I trust the Lord. I'm happy today. I trust the Lord. Now, my eyes haven't seen it yet. My ears haven't heard it yet. But you know what? If I'm trusting the Lord, I will walk into that place. Glory to God. Well, verse 14 says, the Lord shall increase you more and more. Say more and more. That means he will increase you more and more and more and more and more. He's going to increase you. What does he want to increase in your life? All good things. He wants to increase your health. He wants to increase your wisdom. He wants to increase. See, God's a God of increase. I got to thinking about this morning, real early when I was praying about this. And I heard this in my spirit. He said, Keith, I don't have wealth. I am wealth. It's like God doesn't have love. He is love. God is love. Doesn't the Bible say that in 1 John? God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. God doesn't have prosperity. He is prosperity. God doesn't have health. He is health. Someone said it like this, I heard years ago. They said, if you seek God's face, you will get what's in his hand. We don't want to just seek his hand. We want to seek his face. Because when you seek his face, you will always get what's in his hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we're not seeking healing. We're seeking the healer. We're not seeking provision. We're seeking the provider. Because he will take care of us. Spirit, soul, body, socially, financially, in every single area of our lives. Isn't that wonderful? You don't start to get excited in church. You might as well. Amen. See, your spirit, whether you realize it or not, your spirit wants to grab onto this, not to sit there and look dignified. Okay? Your spirit wants to say, yes, I want that. Glory to God. Yeah, amen, amen. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. And we take it by force in faith. Hallelujah. So he says he wants to bless you, wants to increase you more and more, you and your children. You're blessed of the Lord, which hath made heaven and earth. So the Lord is full of goodness. The Lord is full of mercy. The Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is full of everything that you need. Oh, my, my, my. It's really difficult to say it in English. You got to really think about it because, man, we're talking about Almighty God. Now, let's look at this last scripture here. Go to Genesis. Pretty easy to find. Genesis chapter 12. And we know that Abraham is talking about Abraham here, who was formerly Abram. God changed his name, and when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and his wife's name from Sarai to Sarah, God put his letter on each one of their names, Jehovah. And notice it says in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4, Are you with me now? It says in verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, out of thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation." This is before it all happened, God's telling them. See, God will tell you some things before it happens. Okay? In verse 2, he says, "I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee." And notice this, "I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." How many of you know that's talking about us? The Bible says if you be Christ, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, if you be Christ, if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed. You're an heir according to the promise. Amen. And what God promised Abraham belongs to you and me. Now, I will say this. It doesn't just fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree, like apples just fall when they're ripe, you know. We have to possess it by faith. Possess it by faith. But notice this verse right here, verse 3. I'm sorry, verse 2. He says, "I will make of thee a great nation." Notice this, "I will bless thee," or "I will bless you. I will make your name great. Thou shalt be a blessing." Now, I wanted to conclude with this today because what is the purpose? Sometimes people get the wrong impression, you know, when you talk about increase, you know, and people think, well, they just want a bunch of stuff, you know. Listen, the purpose of increase is to be a blessing to other people. Notice he says, "I will bless you." And notice that part there, it says, "and you shall be a blessing." So you cannot give away something that you do not possess first. See, I can't give somebody a car unless I have one. I can't give somebody a $10 bill unless I have a $10 bill. I can't give someone $1,000 if I don't have $1,000. I can't give someone $10,000 if I don't have $10,000 extra. Are you with me now? And so God says, "I will bless you," number two, "and you shall be a blessing." And now I will say this, that if you have a heart to be a blessing, the Bible says God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now you might feel busted and broke, but if you have a heart to give, the Bible says God will give seed to the sower. Amen? Amen. I thought about Brother Kenneth Copeland. I just thought of this right now, but when he was starting out in the ministry and he's working for Brother Roberts, you know. And I don't know if this was while he was working for him or before he worked with him. I'm not real sure, but it was right around that time. And he was, Brother Roberts was talking about becoming partners, okay? And by doing so, you become a partaker of that grace and that anointing and that increase that was on Brother Roberts' life would now become upon your life if you become a partner, okay? And Kenneth, you know the way he talks, you know, and that Texas colloquial expression. He went home and told Gloria's wife, he said, "Gloria, do you know we can become partners and receive the same anointing that's on Brother Robert's life, that's on our life?" And he said, "The Lord spoke to me, says, I want to give him," now back, this is way back in the early 60s, mid 60s, around 66, right around there, whatever, 67. And he wanted to give him $10 a month to become a partner. Now back then, that's like giving $1,000. Okay, and his wife, of course, you know, they were living on barely get along street anyway. I mean, she said he probably owed money on his tricycle. You know what I'm saying? He was so in debt, you know. And it's just an amazing modern day example of someone that God took from a nothing to make him into somebody. Amen. As a modern day example, we can follow that faith. And he says we can become a partaker for $10 a month. Now, he knew in himself that he did not have $10 to give. He did not have $10. So you know what he did? He was in the meeting. He tore a button off his shirt. He says, "Well, the only thing I got is a button." He just popped it off his shirt. And he says, all of a sudden, he's, you know, the offering's taken up. You know, he said, by faith, I'm gonna just rip this thing off here. I'm believing God for $10 a month. And he said, some lady behind him came up to him and said, you've been warping me all day, or something like that. You know, that's, in other words, you've been on my mind. He says, she said, I need to sow this to you. And it was $10. Now, she didn't know anything. But the Lord spoke to her and says, give that young man, they never met before, give that man $10. And so the offering was already taking place, you know, and he put the button in already. So, you know, he went back and got the button out of the offering. Somehow he's able to do that. You know, nowadays it might be different. But and he stuck that $10 in there, and he said, thank you, Lord, I had a heart to sow, and you gave me that $10. Amen? And I'll tell you, he said, from that moment forward, God supernaturally brought in that $10 every month. But not only the $10, God began to increase him and increase him every month. Unexpected money coming in. This is before he was even in the ministry and had his own ministry. Point being is this, that when you have a heart to sow, when you have a heart to give, God will arrange it supernaturally to give things into your hands as seed, hallelujah, in order to bring increase in your life, because he always has you on his mind. God has always has you on his mind. Now, don't just think dollars and cents. Now, some people think that, you know. We're talking about increase, folks. Listen, in every single area of life. Glory be to God. Now, I can hardly wait to get into this next Sunday, I'll tell you what, right now, because there are some keys that God will, he's going to show us here about bringing in increase into our lives. But I wanted to share this with you today to show you that it's God's will. It's God's will to bring increase in our lives. Do you want to believe for that this year?
Yes.
In your life?
Yes.
Now, I plan on looking back a year from now and saying, take an inventory and say, wow.
Yep.
Wow. Amen? Not uh-oh. You know what I mean? Amen? Now, if you go to your CPA and he says, uh-oh, that's not a good day. You go to your doctor and he says, uh-oh. But God has never said, uh-oh. He hasn't. Nothing takes him by surprise. In fact, you know what? He knows exactly where all of you are at right now in this room. I have limited knowledge of some of y'all, you know, only what you've told me or whatever. But, you know, God, he knows you so intimately. He has the very hairs on your head numbered. He knows how many cells are in your body. He knows to the T how much you owe, how much debt you owe. He knows exactly what you need to increase you in 2016. He knows how to arrange and rearrange and position you and put you in positions that you never dreamed possible. Now, I want to release in prayer right now as we close here today of divine appointments, divine arrangements this year for what God has for all of us. Then I'm going to have Lynn close out the service here today. Praise the Lord. Divine positioning. Glory to God. Right place at the right time. The right business deals, the right opportunities, the right thing.
Hallelujah.